Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, Esther's brought back a special guest, and that is Joan McCreary. Joan is back and she's going to share some more information with us, but as a reminder, Joan is a certified professional organizer and owner of JMPO, a successful estate and home organizing business based in the San Francisco Bay Area. She specializes in working with the chronically disorganized seniors and estate clearouts, which we jokingly talked about the chronically disorganized, as that's why I'm here, Esther, right? I'm learning a lot from Joan. I learned a lot on the last podcast. So listeners, if you did not hear that last one, please go back and listen to it. But you guys are talking about something completely different today. I'm very interested. What are you guys covering today, Esther?
Yeah, we are talking about something different today, Eric. It is about a topic that gets talked about a lot, which is divorce. But something that doesn't get talked about much is we know that in divorce, two households get set up. There's a lot of disruption, a lot of change. It's very emotionally charged. And how does one manage navigating all the stuff, the paperwork, the transfers, all of that. So that's what we're talking about today, is how a professional organizer like Joan helps couples and individuals through that process. So Joan, I am so excited to have you back again with us. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
I had, like I said last time, I had so much fun. Again, I love this topic. And even since we last met, I met with my professional organizer and she helped me again so much. And on one level, it seems always, well, I should be able to do this. I should be able to look at these boxes of stuff and just sit myself down and go through it. And gosh, I can think of 900 other things I can do. And somehow with her there, it gets done. So again, I'm so appreciative of the work that you do.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a bit about your experience with property division with couples or with those, the one that you're working with, who have come through and are in a, have completed their divorce settlement. What happens next?
Often the divorce settlement is not the indicator for the property division. It might happen at any stage. So my experience is that we've got people who are navigating all of the legal and emotional components. A lot of times it's involving the kids, and their stuff has to be dispersed somehow. It has to be divided, or sometimes neither one of them want to hold on to it. So there's a lot of elements that aren't really expected with the property side of things, but people are muscling through one way or another because it's just one of those steps that has to get done. We can look at it a lot of different ways as kind of a pre-planning component in the midst of it and then after the settlement. And we can go over all those steps as we go through this discussion.
Yeah, it's true. You're so right that obviously often there's a separation that happens well in advance of a divorce agreement.
That's absolutely right. And you'll find that when one person moves out during that separation period, they need things. And so you've got one household that suddenly needs to be stretched into two. We may see one person purchasing items for their new home if they've got an independent living situation, or they may want to borrow or just take things from their family home to tide them over until they get everything worked out.
So when do you get called? Like, I'm trying to picture this. When do you get called in? By whom? And how do you navigate this?
Right. Well, a professional organizer can usually get involved during the negotiation period. There's sometimes the property division is going to be part of the divorce settlement, and parties may want to have an inventory so that they can have a very clear list of what there is and who's taking what. Other times they just need some site support as they're making their informal selections, because it is a very emotional process, and professional organizers are a little closer to therapists than an attorney. So we know how to manage the wide range of emotions that may be accompanying someone who's got to go through a home that they're departing, and all the memories and experiences that are associated with that home and the items, and be able to select the things that are important to them to carry with them into the next phase of their life. So that's a really important part of where the organizer can support the couple.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a big thing, is I sometimes wonder, because I have to hold back as I touch each page or each item and not tell the entire story about how this came into my life. I have to hold myself back. So I'm like, oh my goodness, we're never going to get anything done if I say this came from this concert and this time. But what goes on in your mind as you're walking through this? Like, on one hand, you want to be efficient, and also, though, you're very respectful of holding the space of what's going on. How do you manage that?
Oh, I love how you phrase that, holding the space, because you're right. There has to be a place for the individual to process their emotions, process their thinking. And on the other hand, they don't really want to be paying a fortune for somebody to be assisting them going through this. So having a balance between those elements is really important. When I'm on site with the client, sometimes there's actually a time limit for the person to be going through the house. I've had several instances of that where we've got an hour or 2 hours to go through and pick out the things that are their personal items and pack that up and get that out of the house. Then there's the discussion of, well, what happens to the rest of it? How am I going to be able to weigh in on what else is important to me for the shared items? And that's another phase of this, where we may have physical tagging of things that some, each party's interested in, and then a negotiation. It's really a lot of encouragement, helping people focus on what the task is at this very moment, to try to compartmentalize a bit the process overall versus the process at the moment.
So let me go back, the process overall versus the process in the moment and tagging. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, sure. So the overall process of the divorce, of the split, of the splitting of the items, those are kind of large, phases or large viewpoints of what's going on. When we're on site, when I'm on site with a client, it might be very specific. We're just looking for the things that are your personal items that you can claim right now. That's not in dispute. Your clothing, your toiletries, your side of the family's pictures and history, things that your children said, dear mom, this, I love you, pictures, things that are indisputably just for that individual. And then that would be separate from looking at the entire property, the dining table, the shared family vacation photos, the Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. Those things might have to be separated out differently. And again, we'll talk a little bit later about the different types of divorce and how this impacts it, but really the phases of where people are selecting their property may look a lot different depending on what type of a divorce they're going. As far as tagging, what I'm talking about is literally putting color stickers or tape on things that each party is interested in. And then you could see visually where there's shared interest or where there's no interest. Another way of going about this could just be having a written list with accompanying photographs, where you're not actually looking at things in person, but you can indicate on a list what you're interested in. And then we see where both parties decide they don't really want that leather couch. There's too many shared memories on that. Neither one of them wants to carry that into their next life. And so then we end up with a list of things that now we have to get rid of completely, not just separate between the two.
Well, I love the examples that you give, because it really shows how Christmas ornaments wouldn't have occurred to me. But then one of the things I uncovered as I continue to funnel through the things from my late husband is our Christmas ornaments. And even my husband now, who is, I'm sure you've uncovered this type of personality, who's like, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. That's his response. And he opened that box. He's like, oh, no, I don't think you should get rid of these.
Oh.
And Yeah. So just that sensitivity to, yeah, what are the things that have that emotional contact?
Right.
And when you're talking about the written list or the tagging, I imagine that's a similar process, even though that's not our focus today. We talked about this in the last time, but in terms of estates, when a,
absolutely.
You know, when a parent, yeah. That same
right.
type of
and
approach.
And I think I may have referenced this in the last podcast, that there are a lot of overlaps in the way we go about dividing property between estate beneficiaries and divorcing couples, because there are so many emotions involved in the loss that is associated with both divorce and estate settlement. Estates, obviously, we're dealing with a death or the permanent deterioration of the health of a loved one. And in divorce, we're dealing with the loss of a friend and a partner and a spouse.
Right. And I think what is more difficult in a way of a divorce is that there's no formal closing like there is. There's no memorial service.
Right.
There's no outpouring of cards of sympathy or anything. There's no divorce cards out there.
Right.
No
That's
event,
a great so. Point that there is really a difficult resolution emotionally to it. And I sympathize with all my clients and those who aren't my clients who are going through this difficult process. It's really important to recognize that everybody is dealing with some form of grief, whether they show it or not, during the divorce process. And even though there's a lot of perfunctory stuff that has to happen, we want to keep that in mind.
Right. Yeah. Because some people just focus on the perfunctory stuff, like, okay, it's a checklist. I'll get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, if that's the way that works, that's okay. And then there's also, though, the sensitivity around all of this, even if that is the outward approach. It might be the same answer, but I'm also thinking of the children's things. So you used a great example of, for mom, but two things, I guess, around kids. One is setting up another home for shared custody of kids. And who gets what things of the kids? Does that ever come up as an issue? And then the sentimental stuff that kids create. And those things may be difficult.
Makes it a little easier when one parent isn't quite as sentimental as the other.
Mm.
So we can hope that makes it a little bit easier that one person is like, whatever, I don't really need all those art projects from elementary school. I don't like the homemade Christmas ornaments, blah, blah, blah. So we can say that those are a little bit different. But when both members of this situation are equally sensitive to them, then we have to weigh the dividing and hopefully some equity between the division. It's often best for couples just to mutually agree and sit down and go through stuff and say, we're just going to equally split the mementos through the years, or make copies, do a digital photo album. Those kinds of things are really good solutions for splitting up the, what I call kid art or kid productivity, whether it's writing or cards or whatnot. But then there's the other parts of when the children are actually sharing two homes now. They're in their father's home and the mother's home, or both mothers or both fathers. Don't mean to exclude any family setups. The children really need to have their own set of things at both households. And that may not be possible to exactly duplicate. And it depends on the living situations for the parents, and it depends on the needs of the child. There may be children who have very specific needs. Anyone who's on the autism spectrum, who has emotional disorders, they're going to need a little bit more continuity between the two sites. So they'll need more similar setups. Other children are a little bit more flexible and can deal with a completely different setup at each parent's site. So we may have some need to actually duplicate the child's bedroom setup or play setup. And in that case, purchasing new items that are identical or as close as possible. And that needs to be considered. So there's a financial component of certainly you can't split one bed into two. So you're going to have to buy another bed anyway. But there's an emotional and aesthetic element of providing similar environments, ideally for your children. And other times it's a chance to just change it up and let the child-parent relationship blossom in a new way by providing a completely different environment. So I think the organizing component is a really great perspective to choose when you're thinking about how are we going to adapt a new custody situation to the child's needs in the home.
Gosh, and it just sounds, I come back to how often are parents able to sit down and have these conversations, even think about this? Do you find that you would sit down with both parties and have the discussion? Or is it with one and then they communicate that to the other and the other says, well, I don't think that's necessary. And how does that happen?
Yeah, I think usually these are discussions that I have with an individual parent and as they're trying to navigate options for their child in their new space. And whether they have that discussion with the other party or not is, say, it's really an individual discussion. Mm-hmm. Some people feel comfortable having that with their ex and others just can't even have any normal conversation with their ex. So
yeah,
it may never come up in discussion. It may just be a one-sided component.
Yeah, you bring up really good points, especially for children who have on the spectrum or have different emotional needs. And then you add on a big disruption in their life and trying to make things as normalized as possible and what even that takes. And it makes me think about how important it is. As I started off this discussion with you, I talked about post-settlement, but it's true. You brought me back and it's true. Even as things are in separation stage, how important it is to bring on resources sooner rather than later. And it is so hard because our minds tend to just want to get through this and how critical it is to consider all of these different pieces of who will take this, who will take that, what is the impact on children and on spouses to make these changes and what things do we want around us.
Yep, well put.
And with us, so one of the things that we've talked about briefly, not on this podcast, but just offline, is how do you track what stuff is being taken and what stuff was taken before the divorce, before property division agreements are made? And
yeah, it,
how's
you know,
that
it can be very tricky. One thing I recommend, whether this is an estate or a divorce issue, is for at least one party to take pictures of the entire house before anything is removed. And that's to the benefit of both parties, frankly. You would take it doesn't have to be close-ups, but just kind of a large shot, maybe two or three pictures of every room and hallway and space in the house, including the garage, including the yards. So there's a record at a point in time of what things are visible. And that really helps with identifying furniture and other large items that may need to be removed right away in the case of a prompt separation. Maybe also taking the insides of closets or cupboards is also a good snapshot in time to manage. And so that's one way, taking photographs. Another way is then to do an actual inventory. And that can be done a couple of ways. Again, you could do a photo inventory where you do more up close shots of each item that you might consider. Another is to create a spreadsheet. Just create a list of everything by room where it is. There's another software called Fairsplit.com that's usually used for estate settlements, but it can be used for divorce as well. And it's an online software that allows you to enter all of your inventory items. You can put photographs associated with those, and it allows people to then go in and select or prioritize what items are important to them. So that's a nice shared option.
Those are great tips because, again, I wouldn't have thought of just take a photo of everything. We are all like attached to our phones all the time, typically not to talk to anybody on, but just do other things like take pictures. And what a great suggestion to take pictures of everything and to have that. And again, as you said, it's not to be to create conflict, but it's just to say, have this, this is how things were, and to be able to refer to that because these are highly emotional times a lot of times. And just to have that record without having necessarily to sit down. There are those certainly, especially in Silicon Valley, who'd be very happy to create a spreadsheet, but those who aren't that way, to be able to just create that record. And I love the fairsplit.com also because again, how long, I mean, my next, as a consumer, I would say, oh gosh, how long would that take to create, even in an estate or divorce situation? Would that mean, I guess it depends on the amount of stuff, but.
Yeah, certainly it does. It might take an hour to load up the fairsplit.com, and it may not be, you know, it depends on how detailed you want to go. Depends on if you want to add the photos. And of course, you're right. It depends on how much stuff there is. And again, with the stuff, it also depends on how granular you get. So we're talking living room set, or you want to break it into every chair, ottoman, and couch. Right. If you talk about books, if you break it down by room or subject matter, or I mean, I had clients who were very contentious over cookbooks because that was their, they did a lot of world traveling. Their collectibles were cookbooks. So they would pick up cookbooks that were beautiful in their different points of stay. And now they had this collection that they had to split. And that was really tough.
So with these things, one of the things that we did talk about and touch on was the fact that typically a professional organizer comes in once a divorce or separation has occurred. What is your experience based on all the different ways people can end a marriage? Mm-hmm. Mediation and lawyers and number of different choices. Can you just share how the different avenues people take affect what your experience is navigating through this?
Yeah, that's a great question because it really does impact how easy or difficult the property division can be. And to begin with, there are some things you just can't avoid. So if one person in the divorce is really just arguing and fighting through the whole thing, a contested divorce with lawyers and possibly litigation may just be completely unavoidable. And then it's just going to be the hard way, which is can't be on site alone with the other person because of fear of litigation or bullying or distrust. And so somebody's going to have to facilitate the property division. Often that's actually done in mediation, but most of the time attorneys and mediators, they don't want to be involved in that. The courts certainly don't want to be involved in property division. They tell the couples, and most of the time, work it out yourself. And that just leads to more bad feelings. So if they can have somebody who's neutral and support them in managing this, that is a place where a professional organizer can come in, and you're paying for that service to either inventory or walk through with each person or with the couple, both on site, if they'll tolerate that, to identify what needs to be split and who wants what, and then to negotiate how that's going to work. The DIY, or the summary divorce, where parties are not contesting and they're somewhat amicable, is much easier than parties can do this on their own. You don't have to pay somebody to assist you with that. And you can use Fair Split or the photo method or whatnot. And the taking turns method is very good, where one person chooses and then another person chooses, and you get through the Christmas ornaments that way and most of the household furniture. And then there's in collaborative divorce, you may have even yet another way to divide the property. Collaborative divorce is usually with not just each individual attorney working together on behalf of the clients, but they also have a therapist who acts as a coach to each party in the divorce. And then they'll have a neutral financial person like yourself, Esther, who will run the numbers and show the different scenarios. And the nice thing about having a coach is you've got each party has somebody who is walking them through how to emotionally navigate this process and gives them the personal support to make good decisions. And they can often set the stage for the parties to collaboratively or to be independently on site together, or they may call in another neutral party like myself to come in and be that buffer between maybe the frayed nerves of the divorcing parties, who can just be an observer or remind people to use the right language with each other or to not speak to each other or whatever the agreements are. And so that actually is a really lovely way for collaborative divorce, is a lovely way for people who are in tension to have the support both legally and socially or emotionally.
Yeah, and I am a fan of collaborative divorce because it is, I like the consciousness of it and conscientiousness of it, counting everybody. And it's not about who wins or loses because there really isn't any winner or loser a lot of the times, but just how do we get through this, step through this in as much health as possible. And then the last question I have is just who helps with the property division if it's not a professional organizer?
You know, I have seen a lot of different scenarios. And when I talk with family law attorneys about this question, like who are you sending to help your clients? They often say, we just tell them to do it on their own. Nobody, because they don't, the attorneys don't want to go in and do this. They feel that they're being overpaid for the work of on-site support and or sitting down to go through an inventory. So they'll ask for maybe a mutual friend of the parties to help them through that. Or
that'd be fun.
Oh, I totally want to be that friend, not.
Exactly. Would you like to go to lunch or help me and my ex go through our stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit hodgepodge. I have heard mediators being on site. Again, that's not really what they're trained for, is to be on site helping people pick out the divvy up the glassware and right. What's in the garage. Who knows what's in the garage? So it's a little bit all over the place.
Well, I just appreciate so much what you've shared with us through this. Again, I could talk with you for a long time, Joan, about this because, again, I'm going to flip on from the financial side. And what we talk about with our clients in terms of investments is basically 70% of our economy is geared by you, me, Eric, others buying stuff.
Right.
And what this is, you've got the other side of this. What do we do with all of our stuff in various life situations? What you shared is super practical, very helpful. I cannot cheerlead enough for professional organizers. Yes, it costs money, but so does buying things that you already have or the emotional wrenching of letting go of stuff and then not doing it. I mean, it is worth every penny. So I am grateful for what you do and how you help people. So thank you so much.
It is my pleasure, Esther. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today.
And if people needed to get in touch with you, how would they reach out to you?
Well, my website is the best place to learn more about what we do as organizers and to reach us. It's jmpoestate.com. And I would say that anybody who's looking for a professional organizer to help them in divorce, property division, estate organizing, or any other organizing field, to visit napo.net, N-A-P-O.net, and they have a directory there of organizers around the country and internationally.
Thank you so much. And I know also, if people want to receive Joan's 3 tips for keeping a clutter-free life, go ahead and reach out to me through my website, which is gatespassadvisors.com. If you're thinking of divorcing, or if you're on the other side and you've got all your legal and everything settled, but your life is just starting over again and you're trying to put the pieces up to back together, Gates Pass Advisors, that's what we're about. And we connect with a variety of colleagues like Joan to help navigate this transition. So thank you again, Joan. And thank you, Eric, for all you do behind the scenes to make this possible.
Oh, you bet. It's my pleasure. I learn something every time we get together. And the thing that struck me today, all the information, all the techniques aside that Joan, that you were talking about, what kept resonating with me is that you and Esther are one and the same in one fashion in particular, which is working with people that are in tough situations, very highly emotionally charged situations, not even the divorce stuff. The last podcast that you did, it's hard just to get rid of stuff, right? And so dealing with that and helping people through that emotional journey of helping to clutter-free their life or clutter-free their divorce, which is really, really tough. I just kept thinking, man, you and Esther do such a great job with communication and working with these types of folks. So I'm so glad you're back on the show. Thank you so much for being here. And of course, Esther, thank you for bringing her on the show. We wouldn't be here without your wisdom and guidance and the things that you bring to this podcast every time. And we certainly wouldn't be here without you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.